If you have a Bible, if you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've been looking at this letter of 1 Corinthians on Sunday mornings until a couple of months ago. And in chapter 15, Paul speaks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. And then verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead aren't raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Well, I want to read you something from a man who describes himself as an author, speaker, thinker, interfaith activist, and a spiritual teacher. And I'm going to tell you when I've ended his quote. It's quite long, but I'll tell you when I've ended so that you don't think he's saying what I'm going to say, because it's quite different. But why have I come to believe that the resurrection story is more metaphorical than literal? Well, the most obvious reason is it's more believable. Maybe it's easy for you to live in a mythical, magical world of make-believe, and if so, so be it. But I cannot. I've conducted too many funerals in my lifetime, walked through too many stone-cold cemeteries, and stood beside too many grieving souls, my own included, whose family members had gone the way that we will all go, the way of death. To believe anything other than death is pretty fatal. To believe anything other than death is pretty fatal and pretty final is daft. You can pretend all that you'd like that it isn't so. Dress up the altar with lilies, sing as loud as you can, up from the grave he arose, as we sang earlier. But one day you'll discover for yourself that all the pretending in the world won't keep you from going to the grave. You will die just as I will die. Now that does not mean that I've given up believing in something after death. I haven't. I can't prove there's life after death. I'm pretty sure no one has proven there is nothing either. For me, I prefer to imagine something goes on beyond this life, and that whatever that something is, it's all good. End of quote. This man doesn't believe that the resurrection story is true. And his argument against it is that he's taken lots of funerals. It looks as though death is pretty final. And this man doesn't know what there is after life on this earth, but he hopes that it's good. Just think, he's conducted funerals, and that's the hope that he gives to the grieving family. I don't know, but I hope it's good. Well, What about you? What about you when you're thinking about the resurrection story? Perhaps you agree with the Bible story that Jesus did die on the cross, because after all, lots of people were killed by the Romans in that way. Nothing remarkable about that. And yes, he was buried in the tomb. Paul writes in verse 4 of this chapter that Jesus' dead body was placed in the tomb. He said that he was buried. Nothing remarkable about that either. There were tombs that bodies were placed into. But Jesus rising from the dead, that's just incredible. That's unbelievable. Just doesn't fit with what we see in life. Doesn't fit with what we see about funerals, the way things work. People just don't rise from the dead. That's this guy's argument, the one I quoted. I don't see people rising from the dead. So how can people rise from the dead? How can I believe that Jesus rose from the dead? It's just a quaint folk tale. A picture of how maybe we can turn our lives around. But it certainly didn't happen. Well, the song that we sang earlier, Jesus died upon the cross, and then the other three verses, that was by a singer called Colin Buchanan. And one of his songs, another song, is that Jesus is no fairy tale. Jesus is no fairy tale. And we read fairy tales to our children, and I suspect we probably read them when we were young. Things like Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella, stories that we read to our children. And as we grow up, we realize that those stories aren't actually true. And we also realize that there's a guy around kind of December time, I'm not going to give the game away, who maybe isn't true as well. But Jesus, as Colin Buchanan says, he's no fairy tale. He was real. And Paul, in this letter, believes that his death and resurrection are real. They happened. It's what happened. There's two famous Christian creeds, sort of statements of what Christians believe, the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. And both say that he rose on the third day. Jesus died, was buried, and rose on the third day. In one of the first sermons after Jesus rose from the dead, in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And I've been thinking recently about how, as Christians, we can put a lot of emphasis on the cross, which is right and proper. But I wonder whether we're guilty sometimes of downplaying the resurrection, the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. The cross is central to the Christian faith, of course, but so is the resurrection. I remember last year at Easter, I spoke about some of the evidence for the resurrection, the fact that it actually happened. And there is good evidence. Historians, lawyers, all sorts of people looked into the evidence for the fact of the resurrection and come to believe that it's true. They found that it's easier to believe that it actually happened than not. Evidence such as what Paul writes here, the fact that Jesus appeared on one occasion to over 500 people, some of whom were living when Paul wrote this. So you can imagine if it wasn't true, he'd have been laughed out of town. The fact that there was an empty tomb. The authorities couldn't disprove what these early Christians were saying because they couldn't find Jesus' body. The tomb was empty, it had gone. And thirdly, probably to my mind, most importantly in a way, the fact that the church grew amazingly. Men and women who were scared, who huddled in a little room, scared about the Roman authorities, what they would do to them, became men and women who were bold in sharing the news that Jesus had risen from the dead. And they were willing to die for their faith. And you don't die for a lie. There's good evidence to believe in the historicity of the resurrection. But why is the resurrection so central to the Christian faith? What do we lose if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Well, if you think that Christianity is just good moral teaching, okay, that's what the Christian faith's all about, then actually you don't lose a lot if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. If it's just all about learning how to live a good life, then you don't lose anything. It doesn't matter if the resurrection is metaphorical, if it's just a picture. because Christianity is still then good moral teaching. It's still a good story. I guess all you do lose is the fact that it's based on a lie. It's based on a lie of the resurrection if it isn't true. But the Christian faith is far more than good moral teaching. It does tell us about our lives now, but it also tells us about our future. It tells us how we can connect with God, and it hinges on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you." Paul wants to remind his readers of the gospel, the good news which they had believed, through which they had been saved. And that's what he explains in verses 3 to 5. He passed on to them of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, as was foretold in the Old Testament, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, to the 12, and after that to many more. The good news of the Christian faith is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. The death and resurrection of Jesus make up the gospel, the good news of the Christian faith. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then look at verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Paul's preaching, my preaching, anyone's preaching, any time that you've shared the gospel with somebody else, you've talked about Jesus with someone else, it's useless. It's a waste of time. The word useless there means empty, with no result. It's a lie. And that's what our faith is. If we say we are Christians and Jesus did not rise from the dead, our gathering here this morning is a complete waste of time if it didn't happen. Our faith means nothing. And worse than that, in verse 15, if we've ever told somebody that Jesus did rise from the dead, then we've been liars about God. If it didn't happen, we're false witnesses about God, verse 15. Paul goes on, verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. We're still dead in our sin. Our sin before God is not dealt with. Verse 18, then those also who've fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. There's no hope for us. There's no hope for those who are already dead in Christ. Before God, we're still in our sin. It means that the death of Jesus did not achieve anything. Look at verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. We all know God's laws. We all know at least some of God's laws. And we know that we don't keep them. We know that we do sin. We do wrong things. We know that in our minds and our hearts, we don't always serve God. We don't love him. And Paul says that the sting of death is sin. Sin leads to death. So if when Jesus died, he didn't defeat death, he stayed dead, then we are still sinners before God. And if that's true, then we'll die and there's nothing we can do about it. There is no hope. Verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If our faith isn't real, if we're Christians, then we deserve to be pitied because of our miserable condition. We're poor, deluded people whose hope is no hope at all. It's not a great picture, is it? Our faith is worthless. Our speaking of the gospel to others is worthless. It's a waste of time. We're still dead in our sin. We have no hope for the future. If the guy I read from at the beginning of the service is right, things look pretty bleak. But, verse 20, if you haven't read much of Paul's letters, you won't appreciate his buts. He comes up with these wonderful but. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Paul turns it around. It is true. Jesus did rise from the dead. It's great news, and we need to respond to it. If Jesus did rise from the dead, there is hope. And first of all, it shows that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. It shows too that his death on the cross, to put it crudely, was successful. It was the final payment for our sins before God the Father. Our sin is dealt with. If we believe in him, then we're not in our sins, verse 17. Our preaching, our speaking of the gospel to others isn't useless. It's a message of vital importance, one of hope for people. And our faith is not worthless because it's based on truth. It gives us the hope of being raised from the dead ourselves. Paul says in verse 20 that Jesus is the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is a euphemism for being dead. Jesus is the first fruits because he's the first fruits of the resurrection. Others will rise from the dead too. Those who believe in Jesus, he's speaking of. Christians can look forward with confidence to a physical resurrection into a new and glorious creation where we'll be with God. When I prayed earlier, I said we had a funeral this week, and some of you were here at that funeral. And the lady who died, as far as we can tell humanly, was a Christian. So I'm not going to say to her family what that spiritual guru that I quoted at the beginning said. I'm not going to say, I don't know whether there's life after death, but I hope there is, and I hope it's good. He said, I can't prove there's life after death. I'm pretty sure no one has proven there's nothing either. For me, I prefer to imagine something goes on beyond this life, and that whatever that something is, it's all good. Well, how can I say that to a grieving family? What hope is that? When the lady who died was a Christian, I can point to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I can point to that. We can have confidence that there is a resurrection from the dead for those who trust in him. And that's the message of Easter. That's the message of new life at Easter and every Easter. Death is defeated. Life has been won. It's the message of resurrection hope. Finally, look at verse 58. Paul concludes the chapter here. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He's saying stand firm in your hope as Christians. So give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Work for him. Live for him. And why? Because he's risen from the dead. He's reigning as king. Our work for the Lord Jesus isn't just lost. He's reigning as king. Our work for him is not in vain. If we're Christians, we are serving a living, risen Savior. That's the good news of Easter. Amen.